a lot of folks right now are thinking about maybe their next step within their current organization, or they're looking to find a new role and possibly thinking about either entering into customer success as a career or thinking about what is their next step in customer success in their customer success career. This is really just a conversation on, you know, things that people should think through when they're going down this journey or this path.
Hello, my customer success friends. Iri Ezips here for CSM Practice, the customer success consulting firm. Today I have with me the lovely Miranda Dekonski. Hi, Miranda.
Hi, Iri. So nice to be here with you.
Today we're going to dive into a very important topic for anyone who's thinking about a customer success career or is thinking through how they can progress their career as a customer success manager all the way through a customer success executive.
Yeah, this is such an important topic right now. I know a lot of individuals who are either trying to figure out what is the next step for them, or they have recently lost their jobs, unfortunately. So they're trying to figure out what is the path to customer success look like for them, or how do they break into their next customer success role?
So for those who are watching this video and are looking to get their first customer success manager job, what are the exact skills and attitudes that a beginner CSM has to have in order to move forward effectively in their career?
Honestly, I like how you break it out between what skills and what attitudes, because when I think about it like that, it makes it really simple for me as a hiring manager. There are things I can teach and there are things I cannot teach, right? So skills, I can generally teach for the most part. Attitude, that's a little harder. That's something that you tend to come to the table with. So let's quickly go over skills. And, you know, some of these skills are table stakes, things that I would call skills that you have to have. And if you don't have it, then you probably won't be able to be successful in customer success. And then there are skills that I could teach you. So table stakes is empathy. So a great customer success manager has strong empathy, strong customer empathy. They're able to put the hat of their customer on and understand their journey, understand what's going well, what's not going well, and help move the needle on that. Also, building rapport. Be a people person. One of the things I love about customer success and going to all the customer success events is it's literally an event filled with people. We know how to talk to each other. We know how to learn about each other, understand what's going on in each other's world while you're interacting with your customers, get to know them a little bit, build that rapport. Those little things, while they don't pay the bills, they do build the relationship. So it's one of those table stakes skills. The next two are skills that I would say I could help you like learn, but it's nice if you can come with it. And that is both being really good at analytics and listening skills. So the listening skills is crucial because you're going to have customers that are telling you that they're in trouble or telling you that things aren't working so well. And you're going to want to be able to understand what those key triggers are that they're saying that prompt you to do the actions you need to set them up for success. So really being a strong listener, understanding what questions to ask to get the information you need. And then analytics. This is one of those things that it may not come as natural for some as it does others, but you can learn how to analyze data. That right there is literally the skills. Now, attitudes, it's very simple. You need to be constantly curious. You have to have a learner's mentality. And within reason, be a bit of a yes person. Mm. The yes people are the ones in the company that get more opportunities. They get to learn more skill sets that's just going to, you know, round out their overall toolkit. I'm not saying say yes to everything because we all know that leads to burnout. But definitely raise your hand when somebody says, hey, we have this opportunity. Does anybody want to take it and learn? Me, that's going to help you with your career and help you get in certain places. So those are three things that are really hard to teach, right? That constant curiosity and wanting to learn and have that learner's mentality. And then, you know, that desire to grow, which I call the yes person.
All right. So let's say you are an empathetic person. You've got all the hardcore skills. You're ready to learn something new. Who do you go to in order to continuously develop your career, both within the company and outside the company you work for?
So let's talk first internally. Take a look around you. And sometimes this is harder if you're in a smaller startup that has 10, 15 people. But, you know, Series B, Series C, so you tend to get a larger group and you have some role models that you could look up to. But definitely when you enter into that company, take a look around you and look at folks that are in the job that you want or that are headed in the direction that you want to go. Tap them, ask them, where did you start when you got here? How did you get to where you are? If they started in the role that they're in, ask them about their journey prior to that company and what got them there and how you can learn from them. And also look around at folks that you deem to be top performers. You know the folks I'm talking about. The people who always have their name on the leaderboard, the people who are the yes men and raising their hands and are on a lot of projects and are really driving progress. And be a sponge with them. Understand, like, what is the tangibles? And what are the things that they bring to the table that makes them a top performer, and learn from them? I wish I could say go to the senior CSM or go to the director of CS. That's up to the individual to figure out where do they want to go? What do they want to do within that org? And own your path and then find that person that you can learn from, depending on the path that you want to go down. Externally is easy, but also hard. I personally pull a lot from folks that I respect, respected leaders, like Irit, for example. If I have a situation that I don't quite know how to solve, or I want to get, you know, multiple takes on it, I will reach out to respected leaders and get their take on it. New CSMs need to rip that Band-Aid off and not be shy. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know what I'm doing, therefore I'm going to reach out, because that's like a learning curve you have to overcome, right? Also, take a look at companies that do customer success well. Customers that are very progressive or known for strong customer success, reach out to CSMs there. You can find them on LinkedIn. You know, nobody can hide anymore. Quick Google search and you'll find us all. Reach out to CSMs there and just say, hey, I would love to hear about, you know, what do you do daily? How do you monitor your customers, or whatever it is you want to learn, or whatever it is you need to learn to get you to that next point in your career. Meetups specifically centered around customer success. Reach out to leaders, ask them to speak. If there's anything we know about folks in leadership, is we love to talk. Start the dialogue, start the community, get to know people, and find your mentors, find your who you want to be like person. And if that person doesn't exist right now in your world, like, manifest it. They will exist. You will meet them. You will find that one.
And up to the next question. So if I'm a beginner CSM, I joined your company, why have you noticed that those new CSMs that have done really well over the years working for you separate themselves and have done in terms of classes and education that they took on their own or through your training program that you would recommend all beginner CSMs to take?
Yeah, first I want to tell you, today compared to 5 years ago and 10 years ago, there's so many resources out there now. I don't know if you remember, but 10 years ago, it was like next to nothing. Even as recent as 5 years ago, it was very bare bones. So, you know, I'm not going to go over like all the different courses that are out there. Let me just tell you, there are a lot, and not are all equal as well. So it really depends on what type of customer success manager you want to be, what skill sets you want to learn. So definitely research that. But there are like little things that you can do that will help you rise above your peers. Things around learning how to do a really strong presentation, learning how to analyze the data that I talked about a little bit earlier, knowing how to sell without selling. That's really important, right? Nobody likes to be sold to, but whether we like it or not, customer success, we do have a little bit of a selling component in our day-to-day, whether it is selling the ROI of the product or it's thinking about the partnership and how we present that. I thoroughly believe it doesn't hurt for a customer success manager to be able to write SQL queries to pull reports if you're utilizing a system that requires that. Not every customer success manager will need to be able to write SQL queries, but depending on the tool set that's available to you, figure out what that technical skill set is and enable yourself. There is nothing worse for a CSM. You need some particular data and you have to put a ticket in or you have to wait for somebody to run this report to you and you lose hours or days. It's crucial sometimes that you have this information available at your fingertips. So teach yourself those technical skills. I did talk a little bit about presentation skills, but it's really hard sometimes to build presentation skills. But there are groups out there where you can practice your presentation and public speaking and learn how to be able to command a room or just engage in dialogue that's impactful. You know, groups like Toastmasters or going and presenting at meetups or things like that. There are just so many things you can do to build those skill sets.
If I'm a beginning CSM, what are the two types of career paths that I can take? Maybe you can share some pros and cons around that.
This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because nobody told me back in the day, hey, Miranda, it's okay to not strive to be a people manager because, you know, that's what I viewed was like the growth path, right, for everyone. And that's what I saw. You know, folks would go on from their entry-level job to senior to manage a team. And that was the career path. And that was the only career path. I think it's really awesome now that I've seen customer success and just, you know, tech in general acknowledge not everybody wants to be a people manager, nor should everybody be a people manager because there are a lot of pros and cons to it. So first, let's talk quickly about the two different career paths, right? And I'll save people manager for last. There's the what I like to call function manager or process manager, which is more of like the individual contributor path. I view both paths as equally important to an organization. I want to call that out. I want to make sure people don't think people manager path is greater than process manager or function manager paths. In customer success alone, there are, you know, paths to like CS operations where you could own the function of all the operations, the reporting, things like that. There are also other paths where you could exit the customer success org and go into marketing. I've seen folks go into product depending on how technical they are. Of course, I had a team who was API support engineers at one point in time who went from regular customer support to, you know, support the API support to customer success for APIs. If you can dream it, there can be a career path for it these days, as long as there is a business need and you have the skills. So that's okay, the key.
Just to summarize, the first path is to go from basically one specialty of what you do to a different one, and you're having a horizontal career path where you just try different things and get exposed to different skill sets and expertise within the business. Would that?
Yeah, definitely. But also, if you think about it, you can just go horizontally, or as you are going horizontally, you're adding on more responsibility or more oversight. I'm trying to think of a great way to explain it, but think about a sponge. I've used this analogy before. Like, there are two different career paths. You have the folks that are going to be the expert. They're going to stay in a team and they don't want to manage people, but they're just going to soak all that knowledge in and then wring it out right there on the team and share it with everyone and continue to grow and evolve right there. Then you have teams who are going to, you know, absorb all of that knowledge in customer success and then move to marketing. Absorb all of that knowledge in marketing with the customer success knowledge and then move to sales or product or wherever else they would like to move. But they continue to grow and evolve their responsibilities along that way. It's not like you're going from entry level to entry level to entry level. You're bringing all of that expert knowledge with you, and it becomes a more senior level path, but definitely more horizontal. To the people manager side, there are a lot of pros and cons to becoming a people manager. And once again, there's no right or wrong. There's no people manager greater than function manager. I tell people, make sure you are getting into people management for the right reasons, not because you think that it's just the next step for you in your career. it may seem like the next logical step. With that being your only reason, I would really send you back to the table to do more self-reflection. With great power comes great responsibility. It's true. If you just want to go and do people management because that's the next step in your career, you're forgetting a really big piece of the picture, and that's the people side of it. So the pros of being a people manager is you do have the ability to really drive impact and help shape someone's career, impact the outcomes of a team. And also you do have greater visibility into everything that's going on in the organization, which is a pro, and sometimes it's a con, quite frankly, but definitely can be a pro. There are so many other pros to it, right? But I think really centering yourself around, do you want, or are you wanting to be a people manager because you really want to drive and or you want to make a difference in people's lives and people's worlds and people's career paths? And I've had poor leaders before, and it really can impact you and it can impact your day. You get up in the morning, you don't want to go to work, right? You could be that person that inspires someone to get up every morning and come in and make a difference for their customers or for their team, or you could be the person that does the opposite. So really think about why you want to do it. I will say too, though, the cons on people management, it is lonely. You don't get invited to as many happy hours. You don't tend to be in on the know of what's going on at the water cooler. So it's a little bit lonely. The saying that it's lonely at the top is very true. So be prepared for that. People are not going to open up to you and just share. Not everybody, some people will, but most will not open up to you and openly share things. So a couple other things that come to mind is it's a lot of work. It's long hours. It's a lot of pressure. But, you know, once again, it's rewarding, but it's a lot of work. And then you do have to make tough decisions sometimes that can, you know, impact your company. And if you make the wrong decision, it can negatively impact the company, can negatively impact the team members.
So if I'm a new CSM and I'm joining the team, obviously I don't have all the skill set and I don't have all the attributes, and certainly I don't have all the attitudes yet. So how can I tell what my gaps are? Are there like any tools out there to help me identify as a CSM? Where are my gaps?
I personally don't know of too many tools that are going to help you identify your gaps. I've worked for many years on creating my own, use that with my CSMs to help them think through those gaps. One thing that I have suggested for team members that I have to do is, for example, if I have a team member who says, I want to move into sales, I will send them out on a information seeking journey. So I will tell them to go out, find 10 or 15 job postings for sales, and then summarize out what are the day-to-day and what are the skill sets that are being required to complete these jobs. And then with me or with their manager, sit down and have a really honest conversation and have some honest dialogue around, this is where I am, this is where I need to be. And then I map it out and generally break it down by quarters. So if you have a skill set, like you need to be more analytical. Okay, let's just use that as an example. Okay, so right now I can do these intermediate things. I need to be able to do this. Let's fill in all the gaps and figure out how we're going to get you those skill sets. What kind of training are you going to do? Who are you going to shadow? What classes, what books, whatever it may be. But first, you know, do the information seeking, figure out where you need to be, and then do the soul searching, figure out where you are and fill in the in-between with someone you trust. Because we all have blind spots. We all have gaps that we're not aware of. And having someone that you trust that can call out those blind spots can help you definitely fill in the gaps.
You know, I had a client that the customer success team was assigned to this product that was very much like a low touch type of engagement. Each customer success manager may have had anywhere between 100 to 200 customers. They would mainly do the onboarding and then occasional touch point at risk. And then they got bought by a company that was really an enterprise company with a, you know, B2B model that like with large accounts and a very complex solution. But because that CSM team that got, you know, brought up through that merger and acquisition deal, they were doing so well with their customers. Naively, the enterprise company said, hey, can you also be the customer success team for this enterprise solution of ours? And of course, here's the opportunity. You will say yes, right? But I think it's such a big transition. But in SaaS and technology companies, as well as services companies, these things will happen.
Yes.
What would you say to those customer success practitioners when such a significant change happens? Can you talk about the type of changes you typically see in technology and services companies that, you know, customer success practitioners needs to almost anticipate that might happen, and how, what would you recommend is the best way to deal with them?
This is an interesting one because I've seen this happen quite a few times. And I've also seen, this is the correlation is so strong, where somebody who was in the low touch model took a job at a company who was very enterprise, very B2B, hands-on, like these are your accounts, you own these accounts and their failures and their successes. And it was a shock. They're like, wait, this isn't what I know. This isn't how I was taught. This isn't what I've done. First is definitely recognizing the change, recognizing that it's happening or it will happen, or that's the path it's going to go down. I think that's really crucial. I view it like I have a vision in my head. If you could only see it, a spreadsheet or a whiteboard where once again, you map out, this is our current model. This is the model we're merging into. Where does it match? Where are the skill sets that match really well? And where are the skill sets where we need to invest in? And being incredibly deliberate about calling out the skill sets you need to invest in. And as a leader, making sure that I'm getting that training done as soon as possible, not just for my customers, making sure that my customers have a great experience, but making sure my team members have a good experience. Because it's nothing worse than waking up every morning and feeling like I'm going to go in and fail at my job today because I don't know how to do my job. What you've described are two very different customer success models that aren't incredibly interchangeable and do require a deliberate plan from taking someone from this model to that model or that model to this model, right? I will say it the other way as well. Like if you go from a B2B where you're managing 10 or 15 accounts, you know, $1.5 to $2 million a year in ARR, and then you go to a tech touch and you're giving me 100 accounts, you know how shell-shocking that is? And you're like, you want me to call all of these, or how hands-off you feel? So I think it goes both ways, is really understanding what are your goals, how are you going to achieve those goals, and what are the skill sets that are needed in order to successfully do it to where the customers have a fantastic experience and you as a team member or a leader helps your team have that experience as well.
Miranda, you are absolutely wonderful. I want to thank you for your time today. I learned so much. I enjoyed listening to you, how you break things down, bite-sized pieces that everybody can understand.